Hi, I'm handcuffing my son to the fridge because he plays D&D too much. And I'm Allison.
And I'm addicted to D&D. It's in my blood. I'm Evan.
And we are Cheryl's bitches. That's an accurate summation of like how we're doing today. Okay, we are here to discuss Chapter 41, Manhunter. Aptly named, there is a manhunt.
They said we're hunting men in this episode. So it opens with Archie in the bunker and Betty like watching over him or whatever. And Jughead comes back and is like, Betty, guess what? I just saw the Gargoyle King and like 10 random guys in gargoyle masks worshiping him. I think they might be a new gang.
Literally first minute of this episode, I'm like, pause.
Yeah.
Because last episode ended with like Jughead seeing the gargoyle, whatever. One, he calls them the disciples, which I was like pissing my
Sure.
pants at for no reason. But I'm like, why start the episode this way? Like it was just so such bad storytelling to have the ep last episode end of like Jughead going home, seeing the gargoyles not reacting, and then this episode starts with him like running in, being like, I just saw the Gargoyle King. Like, that's so inconsistent.
It's so weird. I don't know. And it's like there's no suspense left. Like you ended the last episode on a cliffhanger and then just immediately resolve it.
And why does he think it's a gang?
Well, actually, okay, so I was wrong. It was Archie thinks it's a gang.
Oh, okay.
So that's right. Which I also don't know how Archie knows about this, but Archie is like in pain because he has an infected wound and like is delirious and hears this and then is like, oh yeah, Joaquin told Kevin that there's a new gang right before he ran into the woods, which I don't know how Archie knows this information. I don't know why he would remember this information.
Okay, I think it's like a game of telephone that something got misconstrued. Because Kevin, when he saw Joaquin run away, he was like, or no, Joaquin did say, I joined a new gang, right?
Yeah, he said there's a new gang, I think, right?
Okay, yeah. Okay, so I guess it is a gang, according to Joaquin.
Which, okay. Yeah, so Jughead is like, this is even more evidence that the warden is the Gargoyle King, I guess.
I'm sorry, this is when this season just like devolves into like there is so much going on, and none of the characters, like how we were talking about at the beginning, like all the characters are doing their own thing. So when they come together, like none of the, it's like if they just all sat down and had a conversation, they could figure out this mystery, but they won't. So like everyone is just saying inconsistent stuff.
They're all acting like crazy people and refuse to discuss things.
So anyway, Betty goes home. And Alice is freaking out because she's like, there's a manhunt for Archie Andrews out there, which of course she's like grinning ear to ear, like
Favorite part is she says, police with guns and dogs are all over the streets of Riverdale. Did you have something to do with this?
which like
Which,
one, of course she did. Of course she did.
obviously. Second, police with guns and dogs being all over the streets of Riverdale. Like, is that like different from your average Monday in this town? I don't think it is.
I like she's like guns and dogs. Like, what the heck are the dogs? Are they the
You can have
issue?
one or the other, but not both. Once it's both is an issue.
Anyway, Alice somehow knows, I guess she's a reporter, that the warden killed himself. So another instance of them like trying to create suspense, and then they're like immediately like, no, he can't be in charge because he just killed himself, actually. Like,
Well, because they did that at the, that's how they ended the last episode too, with the warden killed
yeah.
himself.
So why start this episode by being like, is the warden the Gargoyle King? Like, we already know this. He's
Is it
not.
just supposed to be that Jughead is stupid? I think that's what this is supposed to be. Just Jughead is stupid. And sure.
Strong agree. Yeah, and so then Betty's like, well, do you know the warden? Like, what? It all ties back to you, and Alice claims that she doesn't know the warden, and Betty kind of just storms off to her room.
Yeah. Then Archie and Veronica are cuddling in the bunker because of course they are. And Archie's like, I think the guys who turned on me or like testified against me are in shadow mine because the warden told me that and I should go to find them, please. And Veronica's like, no.
She's like, there's a manhunt.
She's like, don't what? But then she's like, you know what? But your case files are still at your house, right? So I'll like go look into them. And Archie's like, no, don't do that. Like, don't get my dad more involved in this than he already is. Like, I don't want him to get that involved. And she does this anyways. Spoiler. But Archie's also like, please don't get anyone else involved. Also, I took the plea deal because I was tired of seeing my friends and family suffer. Because of me. And I'm like, Archie in this episode is so Archie in the ways that I like find the most annoying.
He is certainly Archie. Archie will be Archie.
It's
It's
like
a lot.
it's a lot. And I'm like, get over yourself.
Yeah, I just like, obviously the circumstances were different, like, than in the summer. Like, you were expected to go to juvie, not a fight club where they literally tried to kill you. Like, things
Yeah.
have changed. So obviously Veronica's gonna like not respect your wishes to like what, go back and just let them kill you? Like, what do you want, Archie?
I don't know.
Anyway, the Sheriff Mineta is just immediate cut to Sheriff Mineta literally interrogating the entire class because I guess he's
Yeah.
trying to get information on Archie's whereabouts. And he's just like threatening students left and right. Like, she like zeroes in on Josie for no discernible reason
Wait,
and is like,
before it's important for everyone to know. He first zeroes in on Reggie, who says, I was busy all day, Sheriff. You can check my browser history if you know what I mean. To which Cheryl has like the most like in the back of her head eye roll. It was actually, I had to pause because I was laughing so hard.
Charles Milton put in, Riverdale was his Juilliard. He delivered that line.
He did. He served. He should have won an Oscar for that line. Anyways, then Evelyn is like, I don't know who Archie is, but like, you should all come to the farm.
She's such an MLM girly. Like, her whole thing is like, don't you want to join this great community of girls?
No, she fully DMs them on Instagram every night and is like, hey, girly.
We have made it through like exactly 2 minutes of this episode. Okay.
Insane.
This is what happens when we miss recording for 3 weeks in a row. We're just a little chaotic. Sheriff Mineta interrogating Josie. He's like, say goodbye to your dreams. If you are caught being complicit in Archie's escape, you'll go to juvie too. Your dreams will be over. Your music will be over. Your life will be over. He's literally that dramatic. And then Josie starts having a seizure.
Yeah. And Evelyn and Betty look at each other like, They're both sus of each other. Then Betty and Jughead discuss these events in the blue and gold. And Jughead is upset that the warden isn't the Gargoyle King, because there goes his theory. But Betty's actually doing detective work because she's the only one who will work these days. And it's like no one wants to work these days. She discovered that the warden was the JRROTC instructor while the Midnight Club was active and is like, our parents are obviously still lying to us because they said they had no idea who this was. When, like, to be fair, the only person I would expect to know that is Tom. Like, everyone else, why would they know who the JRROTC is? I don't know how many R's are in this acronym.
And The actual thing is JROTC, but in Riverdale it's
Yes.
RROTC.
There we go.
Because I guess they couldn't get the right to JROTC.
JROTC.
Like did the US go? Okay. Whatever. Yes, like is Alice not remembering who the ROTC instructor was at her high school that like much of a shock? And Betty's so pissed about
So,
it.
Betty's pissed.
So anyway,
Anyways,
she's gonna trap.
so she's like, I'm gonna force them to tell me the truth. If I can only if I can borrow Veronica's speakeasy, though. So she has a plan.
And meanwhile, Jughead is gonna rally the serpents. So he goes and talks to Sweet Pea and Fangs, and he sends them out to go look for Joaquin so they can get more information on the new gargoyle. I almost said cult, but gang, according to Jughead.
At this time, Mineta's also searching the serpent camp, which I thought was gonna be important, and then isn't. But then Kevin is with Archie in the bunker and is like, yo, Archie, I think your wound is infected. And
It
so
is so
then
disgusting. Like they have to
it's
show
so
us.
gross.
Like, we get it. We get it's infected. You don't have to show us a disgusting fake wound.
So, anyways, then he calls Betty, who's like, here, this guy's a doctor. You can go to him. Just bring small bills. Who could
Betty's
it be?
little generous with like the term doctor because morticians straight up don't even have to go to med school. Like I think it's like a 4-year degree. So I'm like, I'm not sure this man has
It's.
any qualifications.
I don't even think it's a 4-year degree. I think it's an associate's.
Okay, they do call him Dr. Kirk. Okay, well, I don't know.
I
Is
think
he a doctor?
he is a doctor because he's a medical examiner. He's not
Oh, he's
a
not just
mortician.
a. Okay,
Yeah. Like, I
that
think he
makes sense.
actually is a doctor.
Is this the only Archie Kevin one-on-one scene ever in Riverdale?
Don't think so. I don't think there ever is again. I think this was a one-off moment that's never repeated.
They're like, guess what? They're also fresh.
Like, they know each other, they've talked sometimes.
So Betty's plan is enacted, and she invited all of the parents over to Veronica's speakeasy by sending them anonymous invitations from the Gargoyle King, which the whole all the parents come, which maybe don't come if you get an invitation from the Gargoyle King, but okay. She is slaying wearing a bomber jacket that has a little ice cream sundae on it for some reason. Very, very much like a 2018 sleigh, so.
Yeah, it is. I also love that she opens this meeting by just going, someone in this room is a murderer. I'm like, go off, queen.
Typical Monday in Riverdale.
Yeah. Anyways, so no one wants, none of the parents want to cooperate with this, even though they all showed up. Because they're upset that Betty isn't the Gargoyle King, I think. And then Mayor McCoy is, sorry, Attorney McCoy, as they keep calling her throughout the episode, which I found so funny. She can't just be Miss McCoy. She can't be, what's her name?
Sierra.
Sierra, thank you. I was like, it's not, whatever. No, she's Attorney McCoy every single time. Attorney McCoy. Anyways, so she wants to be because she's like, I would like to not be here. My daughter just had a seizure. And so then all the other parents are like, yeah, I want to leave. And then Betty's like, no, you can't leave. This is super relevant. Even like everyone's playing it, even Reggie, Mr. Mantle, no matter how many times you give him a black eye, I would never hit my son. And Betty just casually under her breath goes, another lie.
Look, Betty, I am a known Betty defender, but this was so out of pocket. Like, you can't just accuse a grown man of abuse with like no actual intentions of helping Reggie. Like, what do you
All
think
of the
is gonna
parents heard this
happen?
too and are like, sure.
Happening? They're like, oh, classic Mr. Mantle beating his son. Brushed off like this, and it never has
It's
any
never brought up
relevance.
again. It's never brought up again. None of the parents are like, is Reggie okay? Nothing.
So, yeah, she is warning them that their kids are playing the game, and she asks specifically about the warden, if he was involved, did he play G&G back in the day? And Mr. Keller says that he confiscated a spare manual, dot dot dot. And then she's like interrogating Hiram, which is like bold as hell to like go
It
after
really
Hiram.
is.
But he's like, I have nothing to do with this. I don't care about this stupid nerd game. And then they like start, it kind of devolves, and FP is like, look, we were all super high and like we were hallucinating gargoyle kings. And Alice is like, you saw the gargoyle king 2 FP? And then it's completely dropped
Again.
because then the attention shifts to Penelope Blossom. And because she is a known, I don't
It's
know, they
because
just think she would kill someone.
so it is Hermione is like, it must have been the game master, Penelope Blossom. Also, she grows poisons in her greenhouse, like everyone knows this. And then Penelope says, "You don't grow cyanide, Hermione."
She says a fact that only a blossom would know.
Like, they both kind of ate, if we're being honest.
They actually did. And then she explains that it was Daryl Doily
Wow.
because he was madly in love with Penelope. Okay, stay with us because it's
We're
comfortable.
here. We're.
He was madly in love with Penelope back in the day. She refuted him. And he wanted them to ascend together, but she said no. And then years later, Daryl came back and I guess said that he was still in love with her and wanted to be with her, and she refused him again, and then he killed himself. Which I love that, like, she never brought up any of this before. Like, she really came up with this last night and is like, this is a genius defense. Wait, I should say that.
She was retracing her steps and was like, who's dead? Who cannot say I'm lying?
Can't defend themselves.
Which Betty catches on immediately and goes, in like the most flat tone you've ever heard, Dilton Doily's dead dad did it.
Betty is eating low-key, like she's taking on all these parents and doesn't give a fuck. But then FP storms off because he didn't know that Jughead is still playing the game, and Betty's like, this still gives us no information on who is the Gargoyle King today, which true.
Yes. Also, in the last like 30 seconds of the scene, I don't know if you caught this, they used the weirdest camera angle I've ever seen whenever Betty was talking. It was like from above, but like tilted. It was so weird and off-putting, and I cannot figure out why they did it.
It was a weirdly shot scene. I'm guessing that, especially Penelope, like, I don't think that actress was like on set the day they were filming it because she's only shown like alone in all of her shots. You know what I mean? I think there was some editing going on.
But it was just so weird. Anyways, then Jughead gets a call from Fangs, who is a lead on Joaquin and is like gonna leave the trailer. But before he can, FP storms in and handcuffs him to the fridge and says, "You're addicted. G&G is like a drug. It's gotten into your blood."
I don't know what to say about this. So,
This scene.
FP is right. Like, Jughead is addicted to this game.
Yeah.
There are so many better approaches, including maybe like having a conversation with Jughead, or better yet, talk like Betty was saying this whole time, this whole season. Why don't you just talk to your kids about G&G before? And then they wouldn't get addicted to it. But you didn't do that, so he wasn't scared of it, and now you're all fucked.
Yeah, a little bit. Also, just like generally, even if they do have an addiction issue, maybe don't handcuff your child to a fridge and then leave.
I don't know what that's gonna. I like that it was like to the fridge. I mean, this is like terrible. Like, if this actually ever happened, it's such a fake moment that it's like I can't even
Yeah.
conceptualize it being real. Because I'm like, what? Does Junkhead just piss on the floor? Like, how
No, I
long is
was
he gonna
literally
be
thinking
there?
about that. I was like, what if he has to pee?
I like that it's to the fridge so like he could eat food, but I'm like, you live here, FP. Like, where are you gonna go?
Yeah, he does this and then leaves. Like, he doesn't even stick around. Like, he immediately leaves.
Oh, I don't know what's going on with MB. Dr. Criminal Jr.'s office. He's getting treatments for his infected wound. Archie still wants to leave and go to Shadow Lake, to the Shadow Mines, to look for the people, and is trying to convince Kevin to help him. And once Archie's like treated, Kevin's like, Veronica's gonna kill me.
Yeah.
But he still agrees to go.
Yeah. I don't whatever. Anyways, then Veronica's on her bed watching the interrogation footage and notices that a coffee cup suddenly becomes empty when the guy starts confessing. So, like, obviously some footage has been removed from this. And she's like, "Oh my God, I cracked it. I cracked the case."
Veronica could crack the Kate Middleton
She
conspiracy.
could. No, but did you see that she had to apologize for the photo she released as a proof of life?
I know. Look, why was that photo so edited? I
Why did
hate the
they edit
royal
it so
family.
much?
I hate that. It's like, you motherfuckers are so evil. Like, I'll never trust a word that comes out of any of their mouths. So I'm like, I think they're all lying.
I think so too, but I have been fascinated by the Kate Middleton drama. Like, I've been gripped.
Yeah. I don't, yeah. I wonder what happened to her.
Did she get a BBL? We'll never know. And then some people thought it was bangs. Some people think it's a BBL. Like, it could be either.
Bangs. She sighed out for a year because she got bangs and it has to grow them out. Like,
Should hide out for 3 months. Anyways, and so she's reviewing the footage and cracks the case. And then Hiram just like appears behind her and is like, "Oh, well, you're looking at Archie's case files." And she's like, "Yes, and Archie will never be behind bars again, Daddy." And then Hiram's like, "Okay." And then calls someone in his office and is like, "There's too many p variables at Shadow Lake. Please take care of them."
which is another moment where I'm like, you really are just still living with your father who like literally tried to kill your boyfriend for real, like
Yeah.
literally tried to kill him.
Yeah. My other question that's been bothering me for this entire episode, since I introduced it, why? First of all, why are these men in hiding? Like, they were victims of a crime, right? Because that's why they testified against
No.
Archie.
Well, they weren't victims. They still admitted they robbed the house, but got paid off to say that they saw Archie
Archie,
shoot.
shoot. But, like, if they came in and testified,
Yeah, I don't know why they're hiding. It doesn't
why
make
are they
sense.
hiding? Like, that's
They're
illegal.
not like hiding from the law. Like, they had a plea deal. Presumably,
Yeah.
they had a plea deal so they wouldn't have to like go to juvie or whatever if they testified against Archie, which they did. So,
Yeah.
like,
So, like, I'm so confused as to why they're hiding in the mines. Like, and if you're gonna hide somewhere, why the mines of the town you're from? Like, just go to a different town.
I'm so confused. Okay, so like they're not, I think Hiram told them because he's the one that paid them off, right? So
Yeah.
it's like Hiram said, whatever, you can't be around here because otherwise, like, Attorney McCoy would question them and probably would like be able to crack them. So
Yeah,
he was
sure.
like, you guys have to go hide out. So maybe that's why they had to hide. And Hiram still wanted to know where they are so he could, kill them if he needed to in the end, which he does. So he probably was like, go hide out in the mines. But also, this is a terrible deal for them
It's
because it's
so
revealed
bad.
later that it's like the total money spent was like $60,000. I'm like, how does like $30,000 help you at all if you have to live in the mines?
Yes, like that sounds like an awful deal.
I would just go to juvie.
I would too at that
Except
point.
then you would be in a legal fight club and you'd probably get killed.
True,
So,
you'd
you
get
know.
put into an illegal fight club and you get murdered. But like, I guess at that point, take the 30,000 and then leave. Like,
Just
Hiram's
run
not keeping
away.
you under guard.
Look, I don't.
Whatever. What I can't.
This is
I
so
think we're thinking
stupid.
about this more than the writers did. So.
Almost definitely. So then Betty goes to visit Jughead and sees him in handcuffs, immediately releases him, which I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do, but I would ask a question. If I saw someone I knew handcuffed to the fridge, before I released them, I would ask a question, but Betty does not, and I guess that's true love.
You know,
And
they're meant for each other in this episode.
they're both so crazy. And she's not like freaking out. She's like, Jughead explains, like, oh yeah, FP thinks I'm addicted to the game and like whatever handcuffed me. And Betty's like, oh,
Okay.
well, I talked to Dr. Colonel George Jr. about Mr. Dooley's autopsy. Like, she does not give a fuck. She only cares about the mystery. And so she's gonna go talk to him about the autopsy and get the tea.
Yeah, and Jughead's like, I'd love to come and help, but I actually can't because I have to go follow this lead on Joaquin. And so then they go off to go do their own investigating, which, you know, I guess couple goals. Then Veronica calls Kevin and is pissed because she's like, I found this footage that clears Archie's name. But Kevin is obviously like, we're going to Shadow Lake.
Yes. And yeah, Archie's like, this doesn't change our my plan.
Wait, sorry. She, yeah. It's
It's
crazy. It's
yeah.
crazy.
Then Archie and Kevin are in the
Oh, an
woods.
actual important thing though is that she tells Archie that she thinks that her dad would keep the footage in the mayor's office. The
Oh,
deleted
true.
footage. I don't know. Okay, sure.
Then we see Archie and Kevin in the forest by Shadow Mines. And they see Sheriff Mineta. They like jump behind a tree because they hear footsteps, and it's Sheriff Mineta heading right towards the mines. Wonder what's gonna happen.
Wow. Then Hermione's in her mom's, or Hermione, Veronica's in Hermione's office and immediately guesses her password because guess what Hermione's password is? It's Veronica's birthday.
I'm sorry, you are literally a criminal. Like, this isn't Hiram's computer, but even Hermione has like signed fake contracts, like tried to rig an election. Like, she's also a criminal. And her password for this computer that probably has tons of evidence against her and Hiram is Hermione's is her daughter's birthday.
Sure.
And what's worse is she does find the video. Like, Hiram did
Immediately, just immediately.
store the video that could exonerate Archie Andrews, his arch ne nemesis, on a computer, hiding it from Veronica, where the password was Veronica's birthday.
Yes, and the video is hidden in a folder. On the desktop, like it's just on the main desktop, that is has the weird gargoyle symbol on it. So it's like the most suspicious folder, and it is the very first thing in that folder.
Just find out, like, yes, Hiram is the Gargoyle King.
I guess so. Like it's so weird to me.
So what is the mystery of this season? Like, we know it.
I don't. Anyways, but Veronica does look slay in like a black cape situation per usual. Also, I always like to know that so Veronica emails the video to herself, but the email she sends it to is at Monica Bosch. Or sorry, Monica Bosch at whatever.
Because she is a criminal mastermind, unlike Hiram.
She knows how aliases work. And then as soon as she hits send, she gets caught and get taken to jail.
You guys get handcuffed. I'm like, not two of these characters getting handcuffed this episode. Then we see Sweet Pea and Fangs have found Joaquin and like captured him. They found him with a gargoyle mask, so guilty. And Joaquin's like, look, they're mad at him for betraying the serpents in juvie. And Joaquin's like, look, I had to do whatever it took to survive. Like, the gargoyles were in charge there. I had to do whatever the warden said. And he reveals that the symbol that was branded on Archie meant sacrifice. So that's why he had to stab Archie. And he's presumed that Archie is dead, but Jughead tells him that Archie is indeed alive, and Jughead whips out a fucking knife and threatens Joaquin. I love that they were like friends like last year, but it's a lot. And when asked, like, but who's behind it all? Like, why did you have to do all this? Joaquin's like, you know, the man in the black suit. Which, like, just say Hiram Lodge. Like, you know who Hiram Lodge is. Why are you pretending you don't?
Yeah, I don't know. So then jump cut. Jughead is immediately confronting Hiram in Hiram's office. Like in his apartment. I don't know how Jughead got in. I don't know why Hiram agreed to take this meeting. Like, I have so many questions. And honestly, I think it's a further proof that Hiram, at the end of the day, is just a messy bitch who lives for the drama.
Honest about that though, because like he is grin like has a shit eating grin the entire time. Like Hiram is living it up. He's pretending to be annoyed that like Jughead is wasting his time, but he's living, he's thriving. Like, look, if I can't talk to Archie, then yeah, you come in, Jughead. Like, I'll talk to you. You can be mad at me.
Jughead obviously immediately accuses Hiram of being the Gargoyle King because who needs information? Just immediately just lay all your cards on the table. To which Hiram says, I'm not a 16-year-old nerd playing games to live out my overactive hormonal fantasies. I'm not the Gargoyle King because you know what? That's not a real thing. Which he kind of ate.
He spoke the truth and no one wanted to hear it. And his defense is that everyone else's parents are homicidal except him. He's like, including your own, Jughead.
He's like, literally, everyone's parents have murdered people. Clifford, Hal, Tom, FP.
Who did Tom kill?
I don't know. I guess he was sheriff, so, like, probably somebody.
Yeah, I guess. I was like, I thought that was like trying to reference something and I literally couldn't remember,
I
but
couldn't remember either. I guess, oh, did Tom shoot? He shot, Mr. Jorgensen, or whatever the janitor's name was,
oh, true.
that they thought was the Black
Like,
Hood.
Hamas, look, there was a lot going on.
There's nuances.
That wasn't a murder
It's not a
just for the sake
Hal
of
level
it.
murder.
Not a Hal level murder. So that scene is iconic. It was so entertaining.
So
Literally
good.
just go back and watch that scene. You'll enjoy it. God, I love you, Hiram Lodge. Hiram goes to visit the jail where Veronica is being kept, and Veronica's like, it's my constitutional right to speak to a lawyer. So I'd like my phone call, please. And Veronica calls Fred and tells him that they all helped Archie escape. Archie is now going to Shadow Mines to find whatever the people. And also, please call Attorney McCoy and get her out of jail.
Which, okay, so during this phone call, they keep showing Fred as being like kind of panicked. Like he's like clearly in the middle of something. And all of the cabinets like above him and behind him, like in his house, are open and like empty. So like people have been like looking for shit, is what it looks like, which I thought was going to be important. And it wasn't.
So confused on like why they involved Fred in this plot line at all, because like you like let's be honest, he would have been going to Betty's house the next day, and as soon as he heard that Archie escaped, and being like, where is my son? Because obviously he knows that Betty at least knows where
Yeah.
Archie is, but he like seemingly just like hasn't asked.
I don't know. It's Everyone's weird in this episode.
There's a lot going on. Then at Dr. Curdle Jr.'s office, he reveals to Betty that carbon monoxide, okay, so the way that Mr. Doily supposedly killed himself was like doing the thing where you're like in the garage and turn on the car so you like die of carbon monoxide. But carbon monoxide was not indeed the cause of death. And he was already dead before he got put in the car because he died of oleander, which is a poisonous plant. Wonder what that means.
And Betty's like, well, that's weird because that's in this report, but was not what was like decided as the official cause of death. Like, what's going on here? I should talk to the sheriff at the time, who happened to be Tom Keller. So she talks to Tom and Pops, and she again, just everyone in this episode is so bad at interrogating people, but she just immediately is like, this was a cover-up. What is going on? And he is like, for some reason, like, yeah, it was a cover up, and I was protecting all of us. Everyone in the Midnight Club could have done, like, anyone in the Midnight Club could have done this, and I was protecting us all. And then, but he's like, but only one person grows oleander in their greenhouse. And then he gets a call and from Fred and storms out.
Yeah, this characterization was just so whack because, like, why would he, as the sheriff, do this? Like, if he knew at the time that it was Oleander, why would he protect Penelope Blossom? Like, what? Just send her to jail. Who cares?
Hey,
I
who
don't get
knows?
how it, like, I don't really get how it protects them, but whatever. Kevin and Archie are in the mine. And there's all sorts of fucking gargoyle symbols all over these walls. It's like a cave, and there is just literally all over the walls. It is scary. They've reached the Shadow Lake boys, and of course, they are fucking murdered, bloody. One is actually still alive and is like coughing weakly, and Archie's like, we need to save them. Because Archie's gonna
Archie.
Archie.
Archie has to Archie. So then, oh, I genuinely forgot this happened. Jughead gets back to the serpent camp, and Sweet Pea and Fangs are like, someone is trying to send us a message. And they show us the message, and it is that Joaquin's dead body has been left in the like serpent throne with the sacrifice symbol carved on his forehead
And blue lips.
and blue lips.
I forgot he died.
I forgot he died.
I'm not gonna lie, I thought there was a plot line where he got back together with Kevin at some point.
Me too. Me too. Did we collectively hallucinate this? Did the writers forget he died?
Just don't, because he's not in the other universes. Like he's not in the
No.
season 6-1, he's not in the 1950s one. So I'm like, I think this is just the end of Joaquin.
I think it is. I don't know.
Rip.
Anyway.
I mean, I feel sad. They kind of, I don't know. Yeah. Rip to that guy. Sorry, Joaquin.
Sorry, Joaquin.
Sorry,
You
you
were a
died.
message at the end, I guess.
Yeah. I said my next note after that, after Joaquin with blue lips, sad face, is Jughead's helmet hair actually looks good. And he's like, we need to find Archie. Okay. So then
Yes.
Keller arrives at the mines, also with Fred Andrews, and they of course find the corpses of the two boys that were already dead, and he gets a call that a boy was like dropped off at the hospital in critical condition, and they don't know if it was Archie or Kevin.
Yeah.
It was neither.
It was neither of them. Then at the hospital, Archie and Kevin are just like sitting on the ground. Okay. And then I didn't know that was really allowed at hospitals, but whatever. And then Kevin's like, so sorry, just heard from the nurse that like he had lost too much blood, he didn't make it. And so this causes Archie to have an existential crisis. per usual. And is like, I need to leave because no matter what happens, Hiram will always try to destroy me and destroy the people I love in the process.
Yeah, he says that everything I do leads to more death, and like, look, we say Archie's gonna Archie. I do genuinely feel bad for him because, like, if this was actually like a real teenage boy, like, yeah, this is fucked. Like,
No, this is really
you
fucked.
get framed for murder for real, and then like all these boys died, and you're gonna blame yourself when he's not to blame. But like, the whole thing is like, I don't know, like. Your girlfriend's still living with Hiram. Like, why don't you guys like actually just kill Hiram? Like, it's not out of pocket for me to say. Like, Hiram's killing all these people. You're literally going to like flee from your home and like your whole life because like Hiram's always gonna go after you. Just kill him.
And we know that they can easily access poison. So, like, just do it.
He could be like, Hiram, can you get like have a drink with me? And Hiram would just let him poison him for real. Like, he doesn't think
No,
that
for real.
Archie's
Veronica
capable
could
of that.
so easily do this. Have yet another toast where she's like, toasting to the end of our relationship, Daddy, for like the fifth time that they've done that. And then the drink is poisoned. Like, it's not that hard.
Just shoot him in the middle of the night. You live
That too.
together.
You
And
could
also,
also
like,
do that.
this, oh, see, this is something that, like, it kind of just evolves because they made Hiram so evil at this point that it
Yeah.
doesn't make sense for them to still have a relationship. Like, how is Veronica not living in fear every day?
Because as Hermione said, she's afforded privileges as his daughter.
Okay.
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Anyways, then Attorney McCoy picks up Veronica from jail, and Veronica is like, I found a video.
We did it, Joe. You're gonna be
I'm
president.
president. That's
We free
literally the
Archie.
energy this scene had.
We did it. Anyway, then we see Betty is meeting with Penelope Blossom to interrogate her. Doing a lot of interrogations this episode. She's like, "Hi, Miss Blossom." She's like, "Please call me Auntie,"
That made me laugh so hard.
which was cute. She's like, well, so I had this like autopsy done, and it turns out that he didn't die of carbon monoxide. It was actually oleander. And Penelope says that if she was poisoning someone, she wouldn't use oleander because it leaves traces. And Penelope ain't no fool.
I
And she's like, if you're
loved
looking for someone
this.
to blame, your mom was the one that wrote the article that called it a suicide, which she ate.
Which it's rare for me to be a Penelope defender because Penelope is like so evil in
The
so many ways.
devil.
But Penelope kind of slayed this episode. Like she was winning.
Why? She'd be a gay icon if she didn't send her daughter to conversion therapy.
No, for real. Then Betty goes home and what does she do? Immediately confronts Alice because that's what she does in this episode. It's actually very frustrating that she doesn't know how to be an investigator in this episode. She's just constantly confronting people about the information she just learned and laying all of her cards on the table. Anyways, Alice is serving hippie mom realness. That's all I wrote in my notes. I don't remember what the outfit looked like, but she was apparently serving hippie mom realness.
Play.
Betty does accuse Alice of covering up the murder, and Alice just essentially ignores her. It's like, stop. Why do you keep doing this? And then the power cuts out, and they hear a knock at the door, but no one's there. And so then they're like, sus. And then Gargoyle King rises from the floor in their Eden kitchen.
And this is like the Oscar does go to this episode of Riverdale because then they're obviously running from him. And Alice was like making popcorn before this all happened. So then the popcorn starts popping on the stovetop and they're like running away from the Gargoyle King. And then they go to Betty's room and they find a grave that has Betty and Alice.
Oh God.
Oh, fucking ridiculous. are running, and then they like see in the room someone's like trying to get to the and they grab a lamp, and then Alice is like, "Lucy's in the house."
So, I think the popcorn was supposed to be a Scream homage because that's like the opening scene of Scream, but
Yes.
it like doesn't really make sense within the context of the episode. It was so random. But like, you know
Really.
what? Go off. I support them. That was a good moment. The tombstone is for Daryl Doily, but it's been spray painted to say Alice.
Fuck is happening here? Like, we get no actual answers. And let's be honest, this whole season, we don't actually get any fucking answers
No,
on
they
how
don't
any
answer
of
any
this happened.
questions.
What is happening in this scene?
I don't know. How did the Gargoyle King raise from the floor?
Yes. How did they get a fucking gravestone into Betty's bed?
It was also the power cuts out, and then the Gargoyle King starts raising from the floor, and he's like backlit by this really bright red light. So, where is that coming from? I have so many questions.
It was actually kind of a scary scene, so
It was. I support them. It was such a good scene. It's FP coming in the window, by the way.
yeah.
And he's like, I was just looking for Jughead, which then why didn't you come through the front door? I don't know.
And he's like, I noticed the power was off, so I climbed through the window. Like, what?
What? Into Betty's room?
I'm gonna call the cops. Like, you don't crawl, it don't climb through the window into a teenage girl's room, FP.
Anyways, Betty is like, looks kind of suspicious, which, like, fair enough.
Honestly, yeah, I'd be sussed out. Then
Oh,
that's
then
all.
I wrote Fred and FP, but it's Fred and Kevin or and Tom show up at the hospital. I just want it to be Fred and FP because they could have had a good life. Archie's
He could
dad.
have had a real good life, Archie's dad, but FP's too busy handcuffing his own son to the refrigerator and breaking into a teenage girl's bedroom to focus on what really matters, his high school boyfriend. They get
Yeah.
to the hospital and Archie is already gone because of course he did. He is, but he did leave a note for Fred.
Yeah. Then Veronica gets home and Hiram and Hermione are like sitting and serving cunt by the fire, per usual. And Veronica Hill fills in Hermione about like the jail time and everything. And then she tells them about the video that she found and how she sent it to the prosecutor. And she says, "Your henchman, Minetta, is going down. And if you two evil doers go down with him, so be it."
Eight.
Eight.
She also says, your husband left me in a jail cell today, which is like, dude, I mean, I'm a bitch, so I do this too. Like, if I'm mad at my dad, I'll just
I
be
do
like,
this.
your husband.
I do that to my mom too.
Like, that's got nothing to do. I had no choice in the matter. It's your husband.
He is no longer related to me in this moment. It's your husband.
So, Veronica's eating. Then Alice claims that after all that, her takeaway is that the house is no longer safe. So Alice
Which
is going
fair.
to, which, fair, she's gonna go stay at the farm. Betty doesn't want to go. And Alice is like, I anticipated that. That's why I'm gonna send you somewhere safe. And of course, it's the fucking Sisters of Quiet Mercy. They start walking in, and Betty is. Get it aired.
She is, and then. As Betty's being dragged away by these orderlies, there's Jughead calls her and Alice denies the call on her phone, which is just like sitting on the table. Then Kevin and Veronica are talking in the speakeasy about Archie, because Veronica's throwing Archie a like welcome home, you're exonerated party. And Kevin's like, so sorry, but he's not coming. And Veronica's like kind of in denial, but then Archie calls and is like, I actually can't come home because of Hiram, and like kind of breaks up with her. At one point, she says, this is, it was actually a genuinely sad scene, but she does at one point say, because we're endgame, Archie, and it made me laugh so hard.
She like bursts into sobs. Like they were really going for that to be the heartbreaking line.
Yes.
And Kevin does hug her cutely. And yeah, so Archie is splitting. He's leaving town. So yeah, that's why he like broke up with Veronica. And he's like, don't. He's like, no, I'm not gonna be alone though. Because guess what? Jughead is with him. And he's like, leaving is my only option. And Jughead's like, well, then I guess I'm with you. And then the weirdest song I have ever heard starts playing. And it's like a folksy song where it's like, the paladin is home, the paladin. So you can, I
So
guess,
weird.
remember when we had to Google what a paladin was like last episode? Well,
Yeah.
guess what? There's a whole song about
It's a song.
paladins.
It is really funny. Jughead fills in Archie about the whole Joaquin situation, and then they're walking down like the middle of the railroad tracks because they're skipping town. And Jughead goes, "Have you ever hopped a train before?" Which like implies that Jughead has.
Oh, he totally had. He was homeless.
I mean, he was homeless in Riverdale, though. Like, he was living at the drive-in. He wasn't a drifter
True.
going between towns.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, which get ready for the only Jarchy episode of this show is the
Yeah.
next episode.
It
Like the
is.
only one where I'm like, oh, Jarchy.
Georgie.
So Jarchy stands rise up, I guess. Last scene we
It's so
see
good. It's so good.
Betty is at the sisters. Okay, she's in her like Sisters of Quiet Mercy approved garb, and the nurse is like, "We're going to make you well, Betty." And which I was like, okay, homophobia, homophobia. Like, you know, they sent Betty to the, you know, you they sent Betty to the conversion therapy classes. Like,
Oh, yeah, they
she was
did.
not enrolled for that, but they were like, no, we're gonna add on the conversion therapy unit.
Something tells me she needs that.
And anyway, she is in like an art class, I guess, and all of these little girls are painting fucking scary ass looking gargoyles. That's all.
That's the end of the episode, and Betty's like, "What the fuck?"
Oh, this was a tough episode for lots of our characters.
It was simultaneously so good and maybe the worst thing I've ever watched.
I'd have to say this was maybe one of the like most poorly written episodes of
Yeah.
Riverdale that we've encountered. It was not like there was no structure. I don't know. It's just a mess.
It was not. No one was acting in like even remotely normal ways.
It was like weirdly out of character. I don't know. This whole
Yeah.
season is, I can't tell how much of this is like you're intending to do this in terms of like characterization, and how much is it like they've just lost the plot a little bit. So it's a little muddled.
Yeah. Final
What was
thoughts?
your outfit of the episode?
Mine was definitely Veronica's cape. I love a cape and I love Veronica, and we all know this.
Slay. I'm gonna go with Betty's ice cream sundae bomber jacket. It was ugly, but it was something.
It was something. There weren't a whole lot of fashion slays in this episode.
No.
It was more focused on the insane plot points than anything.
Okay, my quote of the episode was, I'm gonna go with, you don't grow cyanide, Hermione.
That's a good one. I think I'm gonna go with Hiram's, "I'm not a 16-year-old nerd playing games to live out my overactive hormonal fantasies. I'm not the Gargoyle King," because you know what? That's not a real thing.
Which, big words for a man who is like having a homoerotic relationship
Relationship with a
with a
16-year-old?
16-year-old. Like, you're doing different stuff to enact your hormonal fantasies. Like, I'm not sure you have a lot of moral high ground here.
Also, big talk for a man who is pretending to be the
Who is the gargoyle?
Gargoyle.
Pyrum is the Gargoyle King, guys. If you haven't figured it out, like, that's not even a spoiler. They've told us 100 times.
They
I
told
don't
us.
actually know if he's actually the Gargoyle King or not. I can't remember, but I know he is. You know what I mean?
No, I swear there are like five gargoyle kids.
I think so. But he's definitely fucking one of them, if you haven't
He's
noticed.
one of them to some of these people. I don't care. I don't like to the warden, Hiram Lodge is the Gargoyle King, and that's the end of
Yeah.
that.
Because Joaquin literally told us this episode. I'm like,
Yeah.
okay, reveal.
Whatever.
Anyway, Kinsuke.
Kinsey's kill. Do we have to do Joaquin? This is his last episode.
Yeah, we haven't done him, have we? Let me check.
I don't know.
I don't think so. Yeah, no, we haven't. Okay, Joaquin. Do we know his last name?
I don't.
One of my coworkers now is named Joaquin.
Oh.
And I'm always like, Joaquin. Triggered. Joaquin. I've quite.
According to Wikipedia, it's Joaquin DeSantos.
Oh, slay. Joaquin DeSantis for Kinsey scale. Okay, so we're doing Kinsey scale, which is the heterosexuality to homosexuality scale from 0 to 6. I'm gonna be honest, I definitely thought there was more of Joaquin's character. I think we're mixing up Joaquin with someone else.
Are we?
Well, like for the future plot line that we're thinking of,
Oh
but
yeah,
anyway.
I think we are.
So do you have your number?
yeah.
Okay, ready? One, two, three. Okay.
Okay.
I said 6 and Evan said 5.
Yeah, so my justification is like he is canonically gay, so like obviously six, but like something about him just exudes like a little bit of straightness. Like it's not all the way there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so my natural instinct was like 4. And then I
Same.
thought about it. And I was like, that's just because we live in a society. Like, I don't think he comes off like he's very much not like a stereotypical gay guy
No.
character. So I was like, is there anything he's actually done or said that like would make me think he was interested in women? And I was like, no. And then I was thinking like he really went after Kevin right away. And
Yeah, he
like, let's
did.
be honest, if he could date like a serpent, he would. And he's probably just like the only gay serpent. So that's why he went after Kevin. So I'm like, it's probably honestly like a 6 and just, wanted a boyfriend in high school. God bless him.
I think so. I think my thing is just like joining the Gargoyle Gang is a bit of a five move. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not quite fully a six, in my
Look,
opinion.
Hiram Lodge is the Gargoyle King, so I think like
That's also
joining
though, you're
his gang is like the
right. Never
gayest thing you can do.
mind.
He was probably like, oh my gosh, and the fact that he just calls him the man in the black suit, like,
Kinky.
I'm like, okay. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
Joaquin for you. Rip, rest in peace, honestly.
I forgot you died. Rest in peace.
They really killed him off in episode 6. Like, not even a mid-season finale or
Nope.
nothing.
They just killed him off to kill him off. Like, I don't know. I kind of
Just to
feel bad
give
for
Kevin
Joaquin.
more trauma, honestly,
And
probably.
like, no one cared. Like, not to that person, but they were like, it wasn't like they were like, oh my God, Joaquin is dead. Like, oh my God. It was like, Jughead walks up and they're nonchalantly like, someone is trying to send us a message and it is Joaquin's dead body.
Yeah, I'm like, God damn, a message? Like, this guy was your friend like a year ago. You helped him like escape to Canada to like try to save his life. Okay, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So,
That's
rip
all. Anything
Joaquin.
else? Anything else, Evan?
All I got.
All right. Remember,
Remember,
it gets
it gets
better.
better.
I was so out of sync.
You can reach out to us, let us know what your thoughts are on the episode. We'd love to hear from you. Hear what your favorite iconic fits of the episode or your favorite quotes of the episode are. You can reach out to us at
cherylsbwords@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at Cheryl's Bitches, or find us on Instagram at Cheryl's Bitches and TikTok at Cheryl's Bitches as well. So that is cherylsbwords@gmail.com if you want to send us an email, and Cheryl's Bitches on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check us out, please.